Well, hi, everybody. Hey, we're going to take communion during the sermon, so if you don't have communion elements, you can go get them. They're right through that door in the commons. Or if you need to top off your coffee and pretend like you're getting communion, you can also go do that. Something's going on with the air conditioner in that it's running, but the temperature keeps going up. So I apologize for that. So if you need to shed layers, just keep it appropriate, and we'll all be just fine. But I've noticed it's beginning to look a lot more like Christmas. We're in the second week of Advent, where we anticipate the birth of Jesus and his eventual return to this world. And during Advent, we celebrate that God came here in a real time in history as a real person to walk around just like us. So when we see this for what it truly is, celebrate seems like an inadequate word. If we really think about this real documented time in history, when the Almighty God, who has always existed, who created everything that exists, who rules over that creation, when we truly think about him lowering himself to become a person, celebrate doesn't seem like a strong enough word. Right? We should be baffled that the Lord who provides relied on human hands that he created to provide for him. When we think about the Lord who heals, a clear mind would ask, why would he subject himself to the suffering of this world? It should make no sense that the Prince of Peace would leave the serenity of heaven to come to a broken world filled with broken people who don't know true peace, who had declared peace on earth. Because Jesus was born into a time called Pax Romana. So the name of God is Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. And he was born into a time of man-made, the peace of Rome. So this Pax Romana, it was a time of tranquility and advancement in the Roman Empire where Jesus was born. It was during his birth from about 27 BC to 180 AD. During that time, there were all kinds of advancements, like the Colosseum rose. You've heard the expression, all roads lead to Rome, because of the development of Roman roads. It was a time of innovation and progress and peace. Peace, or so they thought. Because their peace was interrupted one silent night in the sky over Bethlehem, a little city in the southeast corner of the Roman Empire. And Luke 2:8 tells us, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." So in the middle of the Pax Romana, the time of human peace, the true peace of Jesus arrived. And angels didn't announce the absence of war or hardship or struggle or pain. They announced the arrival of something greater. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that you would come here for us, that you came into a dark night, and you come today into our lowest points, into our darkest places, and you come to bring hope and peace, a peace that goes beyond our understanding, and a hope that we will never see the end of in this life, but one day when we're in your presence, we won't need it anymore because it will be fulfilled in you. And God, we resist that. We push away from it just by our nature. So would you just work your way in a little bit deeper today in our hearts and our minds. Use me in spite of me and would Jesus be seen above all else. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So the peace that the angels sang into that Roman sky, they announced a peace that did not exist. Right? The people thought they were living in a peaceful time, and the angels said, oh no, this is a peace that you do not know. It does not exist. This is completely different. It's the peace of a restored relationship between God and his people. Colossians explains how this happened. It says, God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, and he made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So this announcement, it wasn't the absence of fighting. It was the declaration of a war. Remember, it was the heaven's armies that came to declare this because the angels were announcing a war that would conquer sin and defeat death, take the enemy's power, and restore our relationship with God. Right, the Roman peace, it was marked by a lack of bloodshed, and Jesus came to shed his own blood for our forgiveness. He came to take power away from the enemy who ruled this world in darkness. So Jesus said, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He said that in Matthew 10:34. So that means Jesus' life and death and resurrection for all who trust him as Savior would bring true, lasting peace. So the angels said, have peace in that. But to the enemy, they said, now it begins. The birth of Jesus was chaos and destruction for the enemy because Jesus came to bring peace with a sword. He brought a sword to defeat our enemy, destroying this illusion of peace and creating true peace with our restored relationship with God. So Jesus came to bring this peace, and then when he left and went back into heaven in his ascension, he left us with this peace. The Bible says just hours before his death that he knew was coming, he told his followers, he said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And that peace I give you is a peace the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. So the peace that he brought did not exist before him, and it's one this world cannot give. And so just hours before his death, with his boys, his closest followers, he was telling them, here's what I want you to go out and tell people. Then they'll tell people, then it will trickle down to Grace Dover on December 7th, 2025. Is that the date? Today. It will trickle down here to us, and the message is this. It's going to be okay. You don't need to hope for the absence of hardship. You don't need to hope for the absence of struggle or pain. We have a lot of sweet babies in this room right now. You don't have to hope that they never face hard things. There's a situation everyone today has on your heart. You don't have to hope that you can control it and make it turn out just the way you want. You need to know that God is greater. You need to know in the middle of whatever it is you're working through, God is greater, he is in it, and he loves you. He knows more about it than you do, and he loves you. And because of what he has already done, one day, all will be well. And that's because God's peace is complete and whole. Right? It's not like the peace the Romans offered. They offered a peace similar to the leaders that God judged through the prophet Jeremiah. Right? Jeremiah said, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurance of peace where there is no peace. Right, the Romans declared a time of peace, and peace didn't even exist yet. They were giving superficial treatments for mortal wounds. They were treating this mortal gaping wound like it was a little boo-boo. But Jesus came to heal that mortal wound, which is separation from God, through his own sacrifice. Jesus came to bring peace with a sword and a sacrifice. And do you know what the sacrifice was? It was himself. He gave his own life to restore our relationship with God. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus sacrificed himself to treat our deepest wound. Whew. That was a long stretch. It was the longest I've ever preached without being silly or making a joke. That is not comfortable for me. But it was important to take that time to identify what real, genuine peace is. Because you might be here today believing a lie. Like the Romans who thought they had peace, you may be living in your own Pax Romana, right? I'm living in the peace of Kyle. You might be living in your peace. What you think it is, because right now things aren't too bad. Right? Or you got a little extra money. Or you're able to just have a good attitude no matter what's going on. Or you got some cool crystals. But if you come here, I promise to keep truth in front of you. And so I just want to say the truth. If you don't have Jesus, you do not have peace. That is the truth. Right, the angels announced a disruption of what people thought was peace. So what about you? Is your peace shaken when you're hurt by somebody that you love? Does your peace depend on your job? Or what kind of shape you're in right now, or what you look like, or how many friends you have? Does your peace rise and fall with your habits and your desires? Or does your peace disappear and reappear on whether or not you're giving in to those habits and desires? Because the way you answer those questions is a pretty good indicator of whether or not you have true peace. Okay, you've earned it. Here comes a laugh, hopefully. Can I show you how to divide a room? It's fun when you get to speak like this, you can divide a room. Here it is, how to divide a room. What do you think of this? The Cybertruck. So the first time I said out loud, I think they're kind of cool. I was told, don't say that out loud. It's divisive, right? Some people love it. Some people hate it. A lot of people say, well, I wouldn't buy one, but yeah, it's all right. I think the church should be the most inclusive community that exists. So you're welcome here, regardless of your stance on the Cybertruck. But you got to know it's divisive. What does that have to do with anything? Well, Jesus came to bring peace with a sword and a sacrifice, and he said it will be divisive. He told us it would divide people. Right, some people are satisfied with a plastic piece and a Band-Aid over a mortal wound, when others have experienced the true peace of God and just can't settle for anything less. I don't know if this is sticking with you. Let me show you another example. $40 will get you the world's strongest magnet. I bought one. I was kind of disappointed. I couldn't return it. I was stuck with it. What is this guy, a refrigerator, huh? Waka waka. The point is, magnets attract and repel, right? Jesus said, the peace that I bring, it will divide people. It will attract those who want truth, and it will repel those who are satisfied with the fading fulfillment of this world. That is so hard. It's hard to accept that the peace that Jesus brings will divide people. He said it. But there are incredibly beautiful aspects to this division also, because the peace that Jesus brought with a sword and a sacrifice also divides us from our sin. That sword cuts through and separates us from our sin. When we trust Jesus and receive his peace, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. I want you to notice something. I was right. That is east and that's west. I looked at a map. I want you to notice it says he has. It doesn't say he might. It's done. You can hang on to that stuff. You can carry it around if you want. But when you trust him and accept and live in his peace, your sin has been removed. And that's because its power has been taken away. Right? The enemy has been stripped of his power, and Jesus' sword and sacrifice divides us from the enemy. And Romans says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And I don't know why that encouraged me so much every time I read it this week, so I'm just going to say it out loud again. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So the peace that Jesus brought with a sword and a sacrifice, it will divide people, but it also divides us from our sin and from the enemy. So it divides, but it also unites. Ephesians 2:13 says, now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So Jesus came with a sword and a sacrifice that unites us with God. Right? Like I said, we're living in our own peace. I like to live in the peace of Kyle. You might have been living in the peace of Caleb or Georgia or Lisa or Ty. Right? You might be living in your own peace, but then God calls out to you. He calls into your darkest night and announces something better. He tells you of the sacrifice of Jesus that unites us with the peace of God, the true peace. So what an appropriate time to celebrate communion and be drawn back into what Jesus has done for us. May, would you hand me that? Thank you, sir. So if you don't have a communion cup, you can go grab one. But let's take a moment, and we're going to do what the Bible asks us to do and be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. So I'm just going to ask a few questions. Have you been trying to live in your own peace? Have you been trying to put things in the order you think they should be, maybe manipulate a situation or people? Or maybe there's something you do to escape any kind of tension. But have you been trying to live in your own peace? How's that working? Or have you wandered away from God, what you know he's done for you, and you need to be drawn back to him? Well, thankfully, he gives us this meal of communion, of community with him to draw us back. So now I want to get specific and ask you to bring to mind something you wish you could go back and undo. It may be like maybe the big thing, right? Something that defines you, even if only you know about it. It may be a habit or addiction that you're wrapped up in now that you keep saying, well, this is it. This is the last season. You know, I'm not going to do that anymore. But man, I would give anything to go back and just not ever start that. Maybe it's something you said this morning. If you can go back and undo. And the Bible says before you take communion, as much as it depends on you, to go make it right. So you might need to send a text message right now. You might need to step out and make a phone call. There might be a situation you need to address. And if there is, do it. Don't be embarrassed. That's what the Bible asks us to do. Come back later. I'll give you communion. Come to movie night. We can do it then. But make it right. For the rest of us, I just ask, bring to mind, what would you go back if you could and undo? And then I want you to hear that Jesus came to undo the power of that in your life. He came to pay the price for that. He came to remove it from you, and he came to forgive you. So let this bread and this juice that represents his body and his blood draw you back to what he has already done. You can open the top and take out the bread. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he took it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." and you can open the juice. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you for your love that is an action that you acted on, that your body was torn apart so ours could be made whole, that your blood was shed so that we could be washed clean. God, that we might have come in to church this morning feeling terrible about ourselves, and this reminds us that in you, we are God's masterpiece. That in you, we are righteous, we are forgiven. In you, we have hope, and we have the peace of a restored relationship with God. And for that, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. So Ephesians goes on. It tells us more about this unity that Jesus created. Verse 14, it says, "Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." So Jesus came with a sword and a sacrifice that unites us with God and with God's people. All right, that's saying there's no division between God's people. It doesn't matter your stance on the Cybertruck or politics. You can even support the wrong sports teams. But the body of Christ should be diverse and should be different. We should have, other than the essentials of the gospel, different beliefs, different viewpoints, different interests, different likes. There should probably even be some people in this church that you just don't like because they're different from you. But there is no dividing wall between us, because if you are under the blood of Christ, you are in God's family, and you are welcome in this family. Jesus came with a sword and a sacrifice that unites us with God and all of God's people. So a really impressive element of the Roman Empire was its borders. It was an incredible use of natural elements and these man-made walls and imposing military strength, all with the purpose of keeping outsiders outside, right? Protect this fragile peace and lock everybody else out to fend for themselves. That's what Jesus was born into. And he rushed in as a river of life. He came in to tear down dividing walls, to rob the enemy of his power, defeating him and offering true peace to anyone who trusts him. And this peace is stronger than our suffering. It's not put in jeopardy by our failures. God's peace meets you in your lowest place. It sings into your darkest night and says, "There is something greater." And it's not lost on me that this room is full of people a lot smarter than I will ever be. And you may be thinking with reason or logic or ways this can't be true. And I think the best thing the Bible says about the peace that Jesus offers, it exceeds our understanding. You might be thinking, "Dude, you have no idea what I've done. There's no peace after I've done that." You may not be able to understand how, but Jesus says, "Oh no, that's already done. It's your choice if you want to keep carrying that around or if you want to live under my peace, but it is done." And if you listen closely, you can hear the angels singing, inviting you into that peace today. Because they said, "Peace with whom God is pleased." Who is God pleased with? All who trust his son, Jesus. That is who he is pleased with. They didn't say, "Peace with those who haven't messed up. Peace with those who don't have regret. Peace for those who don't have shame." Everyone who trusts Jesus is welcome to that peace, even if you're an outcast like the shepherds the angels sang to, right? Pushed away, forgotten about, unwelcome because of things they've done. God calls out to you in your darkest night and invite you into his peace. So we're going to wrap up with one of my favorite Christmas stories about Simeon. Luke 2 tells us about Simeon that he was a good man, eagerly anticipating the Messiah. He may have been the first Christmas fanatic. But the Holy Spirit promised Simeon that he would not die before he saw this Savior. So imagine his excitement when after years and years and decades of waiting, and he thought, man, I guess God forgot about that promise, or maybe I misheard. After years of waiting, the Spirit said, Simeon, go to the temple. So he went to the temple, and God's timing works out like it does. As he walked in, he bumped into this young, frazzled couple with a newborn baby. And there he was, the Messiah, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And Simeon held the baby in his arms, and he said, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation. And in this beautiful moment, he did something very unexpected. And he turned to Mary, Jesus' mom, and told her, because of this peace that she birthed into the world, he said, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Right? This holy infant, so tender and mild, would grow up to sacrifice himself for his people. And Mary would be there, and that experience would be like a sword in her soul. Because her son, God's son, came to bring peace with a sword and a sacrifice so all who trust him as Savior could have real, true peace. Peace that's greater than our hardships, deeper than our failure, beyond our understanding, greater than anything in this world. It's a peace that did not exist before Jesus brought it. It's offered to all. So Jesus, we thank you for what you have already done, for your offer of peace. I pray that for anyone here who doesn't know it, that you would show them, that you'd speak to them, that they are your son, your daughter, that you love them, that you have already reached out to them. And for us who know Jesus as our Savior, help us to not just think peace sounds great, that sounds good, but that we would live in it. More today, a little more tomorrow, a little more after, the day after that. So God, we praise you for who you are and what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen.